Last week was the feel-good message. Last week we talked about holiness. We talked about how we are holy. We talked about how we don't have to earn it. We talked about how it's already inside of us, that we just have to actually, like I said, surrender to it. But there's more to it. And it's not really a catch. It's just more of a partnership. So now that we know that we are holy, now that we know that we don't have to earn our holiness, we have to now look at our part we play. And we still have some work to do. We still have to participate in this process. Part of that participation is simply surrendering and letting go of a few things. So we're going to go back to Peter, chapter 2, verse 1. Peter says, therefore, when he's talking about therefore now that you're holy, therefore now that you know that you've been taken care of, therefore now that you know that you have Jesus in you and he's working and the Holy Spirit's working within you, therefore rid. Say that with me. Rid. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Wow, these are heavy duty. Malice. Malice means you want to hurt someone. Malice means you want to cause harm. In our court system, if they find out that there was malice involved, the fines, the penalties start skyrocketing through the ceiling. It becomes punitive damages, meaning that you meant to hurt somebody. You wanted this to happen. Malice. If we have malice, but we don't have any malice for anybody ever, right? No matter if they betrayed us. Have you ever been betrayed? Ever been betrayed by like your best friend? Ever been like made to feel like you're not worthy by somebody you love? Ever been ignored by people you care about? And have you ever had any little resentment about that? Malice. We need to get rid of malice. And so today I want to demonstrate how we do this. And this may seem very, really simple, but it's really, really effective. Malice. First of all, I admit, I got some malice in me. I don't want to admit that. And I have to go through different scenarios in my mind and really decide, like, where do they lie? But regardless, I think that we all have a little bit in us. So we simply take it. There's something about when we do something physical, and we participate in the moment, that we connect our brain, what we're thinking, to what we're doing, and it sticks. I think that's why that when we're teaching, we have students write things down as we have them learn the lesson, because it sticks if they write it down. You know, we learned that if you tell somebody something, that their retention rate is about 30%. And if they see it visually, it's about 30%. But if you say it and you see it, that retention rate jumps up to like 70, 80%. It sticks. And then if you do something tactical, like what I'm doing right here, it jumps up to like 100%, you will remember me tearing up this piece of paper more than any words, anything you see, or anything I do. So I invite you to participate with me right now as we get rid of all malice. In all deceit. Deceit. Doesn't sound like such a harmful word, does it? I love George Carlin. George Carlin was a comedian and he would play with words. He loved words. He was a wordsmith. And so he would play with words. He could do his comedy routines and they were brilliant. I think a modern day would be a Seinfeld. He does the same kind of a thing. He plays with words. Deceit. Like, if this is George Carlin, he said, that doesn't sound like a bad word. That's a pretty innocent word. Deceit. Deceit is the tool of the enemy. Lies and deceit. That's his whole bag of tricks. That is the enemy's entire bag of tricks is lies and deceit.
Dishonesty.
And dishonesty. Which is lies and deceit. But he plays it so well. Because when you start getting some deceit in a relationship, we're going to go to town now. When we start deceiving somebody, what is it that, when we first tried to deceive what is the saying? When at first you tried to deceive. What a tangled web we weave. And it is a tangled web because once you say one lie, you got to say another lie to cover the last lie. And then you have to have this super memory because now you're in this chain of effect of like 45 lies and you got to remember the first one and all the other 45 and you're going to get tripped up. Sooner or later, they're going to say, wait, didn't you say deceit doesn't work? Truth comes out and deceit is destroyed. So as we pray today, because this message today is about prayer, we need to let go of any kind of deceit, any kind of agenda, any kind of like secondary motives that we might have.
Takes away trust.
And we need to have trust. Because when we have trust, we get rid of deceit. Hypocrisy. You know, I heard a guy one time, and he said, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, you're going to be called a hypocrite. And a matter of fact, if you're striving to be holy, which we talked about last week, you're going to be called a hypocrite. If you say that you're holy, you're certainly going to be called a hypocrite because we can't pull that off. We are trying to attain a goal. We're trying to be holy. We're striving to be holy. See, when you put that word striving in front of it, it's no longer hypocrisy because we're being straight up. We're being 100%, as my disciple-making group tells me. I always say, you know, get real, but they just tell me the newest way is just 100%. You're being 100%. There is no hypocrisy when you're 100%. There's no hypocrisy when you don't have a hidden agenda. There's no hypocrisy when you're straight up with people. So hypocrisy is really easy to deal with. Just be authentic. Envy. Envy. You ever want something that's not yours? You ever hope for something that was like somebody else had it and you look, I think of Facebook. Facebook is a perfect example of envy. And it's a perfect example of a false kind of an envy of people using deceit and lies and manipulation to make you seem like they had this perfect life. And then we envy, that's what's happening a lot with our young people these days, they are envying all these people, and it's an illusion. It's not real. Many times when you're dealing with envy, it's an illusion. It's not real. Nobody's got that perfect life. I know I've talked to enough people when I've met them and it's like, wow, you got it all together. You've got the family, you've got the job, you've got the money, you've got the cars, you've got the house, you're off on a golf course, you've got everything. Until they say, hey, Pastor, can I talk to you a minute? And then the baggage comes out. The past comes out. The things that are going on comes out. And all of a sudden, it's not this rosy picture anymore. Envy is an illusion. If we understand it's an illusion, we can get rid of it. And maybe the most vicious of all, slander. We even in our court system, we will not allow this. Slander means you're saying something untrue about somebody, and you got a lot of that malice going on that is hurtful. So all we got to do is do what James tells us and check it. Check the mouth. Check the thought. Take a pause. Don't react. Get rid of slander. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Yes, we are holy, but we also need to get rid of some stuff. We need to dump some stuff into the trash. We need to cleanse ourselves. And I've been reading about this lately, about forgiveness. And the thing about forgiveness, you know what the hardest part of forgiveness is? Releasing that person from any blame or harm. It's not just forgive and forget. Because we never really forget. Anything that we see or hear or do stays in permanently. They've proven that in our subconscious. Everything is stored in there like this supercomputer. So we don't really forget anything. But we can let it go. We can release it. So whatever harm's been done, you can release it. And you want to really send the enemy for just like a turn and where he won't bother you anymore? Pray for that person who hurt you. The enemy will say, like, you're crazy. You're a lot of work. I can't deal with you. I'm going to go find me an easier target. You're too close to that holiness thing. So it says in the Word, and the Word is so powerful, and the Word is so true. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. That's a hard thing to do when it's going. It's okay. It's not that hard after the fact, but when it's happening, it's really hard. And if it's really grievous, even if it's way in the past, it's extremely difficult to release somebody. So, as we look at, you know, ridding ourselves of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, we also need to look at releasing individuals who have caused us harm. Because, you see, all these things, they mess you up. It amazes me that we hold a grudge against somebody. And we're mad at this person, and we hold that for days or months or years, and we're like, if I ever saw that person, when I see them next, this is what I would tell them, and how dare they, and you got this all this stuff building up, and the other person's not even aware of it. And so, who's getting harmed in this? My blood pressure is going up. I'm getting all upset. I'm thinking about the grievous thing that happened to me. And this other person doesn't have a clue what's even happening. So we are destroying ourselves from inside. And we're messing up our relationship with that person. Because that other person, that poor person, doesn't even know what's going on. And is affecting all of our other relationships. So God is trying to tell us to cleanse ourselves and let go and release that person who caused you harm. And if you want to go to the next level, pray for them. And I mean pray for them like that they prosper and that their health is good, that their family is taken care of. Because, you know, they're all human beings too. And if God ever held us to account of all the things we did, I don't want to have that conversation with him. Continuing. There's only three verses today. Like newborn babies, I think of Savannah, as she just came in here. What is it about Savannah right now? If you had to think of one word for Savannah right now, especially in light of what we're talking about, what would it be?
Innocent,
pure, clean. None of this stuff, right? None of this stuff is happening in her life yet. Did I say yet? Sadly, there is things that will happen. There are people that will come. And there is things in her life that she will deal with. But you know what the thing is as we deal with this stuff, and especially if we take scripture to heart, we get stronger. Like newborn babies crave. And so I underlined crave, want, need. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So it's kind of like we're all little babies here. And we all need to grow up a little bit. Because when we hold malice and when we do the slander thing, we're not acting like adults anymore, are we? And we need a little help. And then we need that spiritual milk. Because you know what milk is? Milk is basic. Milk is like what you feed a baby because it's very basic. It's basic nutrition. You know, it's not real complicated carbohydrates or any of this other stuff. It's just a basic need that we have. We need... So spiritual milk is the basics. It's not going into all the deep things like, you know, glorification and sanctification. And it's just being basic. It's just being basically a good person. It's just being I have to stop myself. Because I was going to say, it's just being kind. But we have such a hard time being kind. We have a hard time with this spiritual milk, and it's just kindness is a basic thing. Crave kindness. Crave joy. Crave compassion. So by it you may grow up in your salvation. You're already saved. Since you take on Jesus, you're saved. You're set. You're good for now. You're good for eternity. You are good. It's a done deal. But in the meantime, we should be reaching holiness. In the meantime, we should be getting rid of some stuff on a daily basis. In the meantime, we should be kind to one another. In the meantime, while we're on this planet, we should be making a difference. Continuing. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Isn't that what we just got done praying about? That all these things that God did, I talked about having this hand of two deuces and he's got the royal flush. Isn't he good? As we look at Sandy in the hospital, isn't he good? As we look at Savannah being born, I keep coming back to Savannah, but that's a miracle. Isn't he good? As these crises are avoided or just done away with, as cancer is healed, isn't he good? As we find peace in the Middle East, isn't he good? As we find peace in our heart, let's not make light of that. I was talking earlier about the anxiety that's going on right now. It's rampant. I was talking earlier about how our thought processes don't stop. I was talking last week about how we plan out everything and we try to make everything, keep everything in control. And sometimes we just need some peace. Just a moment of peace. a half hour of peace. I'm going to tell you, a place you're going to find your peace is in prayer. Take a timer. Do this every day. Set the timer. I remember the old timers at the kitchen, the clock timers, and when they go ding, and you set the little buzzer for about 5 minutes. Set a timer. Set your watch. Set your phone for 5 minutes. And just spend 5 minutes one-on-one with the Lord. In that 5 minutes, you can do everything we just got done talking about. You can release everything. Well, maybe not everything in 5 minutes. But as you do it every day, you will. In that 5 minutes, you can feel that presence. You can make some room for God and feel that presence in your life. In that 5 minutes, I'm telling you, that 5 minutes will be transformational. It will change your life. I guarantee it will change your life. First of all, it'll change your level of peace. It'll change your level of confidence. It'll certainly change your level of connection to God and to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. And it will also change your connection to everybody around you. It will change your mind and your attitude. It will change your mood. I guarantee it. And the reason I know this is because I couldn't do it. I literally couldn't sit still for 5 minutes. It was impossible. Forget about it. I tried the meditation thing, and you know, you think about your toes, and then you think about your ankles, and you think about your knee, and you let them all relax. And I'm not relaxing. I'm thinking, am I done? Did my timer go off yet? So I tried that years and years and years ago, and then I decided, well, I'll try praying concentrated prayer every day, I'll just try 5 minutes. 5 minutes, man. 5 minutes goes by in a heartbeat. 5 minutes is a commercial break when you're watching television. It's nothing. 5 minutes in my morning before I get my day started, I certainly can find that. So I sat there for 5 minutes. And I set my little, at that time we didn't have the digital things on our phones. And I set my 5 minutes, set my kitchen timer, and it's going to go bing, 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 bing after 5 minutes, and it was an eternity. It was like, is it broke? Did I forget to set it? Because I got my eyes closed, you know, and I'm sitting on the floor, and it's like right here. Look at it. And sometimes I would, because it was set. It's at about 4.5 right now. And it took forever. And my mind is racing all over the place. I gotta get to work, I gotta do this, I got this project, I gotta do that. And I got nothing done in that 5 minutes, let me tell you. It was nothing but pure anxiety. But the next day, I settled in a little bit better. Because I made this commitment. I'm going to do this every day. I don't care how torturous it is. And so the next day, I think I got maybe 30 seconds in. 4.5 minutes of my head flying all over the place and 30 seconds of being able to just pray. And then finally, after a few weeks, 5 minutes was nothing. And it wasn't enough. It was like, I had more to say. I had more to hear. And I'll tell you, one of the secrets of it is just to be quiet. Of the last 5 minutes, 30 seconds, just be quiet. Just let God speak. That's hard to do. That's really hard to do. It's one thing to stop the mouth. It's another to stop the brain. And whenever you kind of just drift off, you start thinking, oh, I got to get to work. Just bring it back in. Think of God. And just let it gel. But I guarantee you, as you do this, you will release and let go. You'll release all of you. You'll surrender all of you, and you'll let it go. And I've talked to a lot of people who started doing this, and it is transformative. So I urge you, 5 minutes, get a timer every morning. Have a conversation. And if it's hard, that's okay. The next day, do it again. And do it again. Like that child. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. After a while, nobody, and I mean nobody, will take that 5 minutes from you. You will guard it with your life. You will not let anybody take your 5 minutes. And the other beautiful thing, and the last thing I'll say about this, is let other people see you. They should see an example. My nieces saw me all the time. There's Shushu, they called me Shushu. There's Shushu sitting down, and he's sitting on the floor again. And they knew I was praying, and I wanted them to know. People need to see us pray. They need to see us pray in the restaurants. They need to see us pray everywhere. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that we can talk to you. We thank you that we can walk with you. We thank you that we can hear you. We thank you that you are always, always speaking to us. We thank you that you're even okay that we're not listening, but you're just waiting for us to listen again. We thank you for your amazing patience with us. We thank you that you want this relationship with us so badly. And you're just waiting for us to respond. So let us respond right now. We thank you, dear Father God, for your presence. We're making room right now, in this moment. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you surrendered everything for us. We thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you transform and change us. When we need some change, we thank you for that. We thank you that we are striving for holiness and that we're not hypocrites in saying we're there yet. We thank you that we can get rid of any kind of envy, which is just a mere illusion anyways, that we can stop the slander, that we need not gossip or talk about anybody other than just encouraging and lifting others up. And we ask you, Lord, to help us just get rid of any kind of malice, any kind of bitterness, which bitterness will eat us alive. We thank you, dear Father God, that we can bring all of this to you and all of our needs through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Simple that is. It's only three lines that I will make, and two of them are repeating. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. It's three simple lines. But how hard is that? Maybe that's why it's repeating this last line twice. To do whatever you want to. Well, I'll tell you, when we get to that place where we just say, hey, God, whatever you want. Hey, God, whatever this situation is going to turn out. Hey, God, I don't have to make all the plans. Hey, God, I don't have to try to tell you how this is going to happen. I don't try to run the universe for you. Ever do that? Ever feel responsible for everything and anything? And then you feel guilty when it doesn't work out. And if you just would have done this other thing. If you just, man, I've been dealing with that lately. If you could just fix it. I'm telling you, you can't fix anything. But you can surrender to the one who can. I will make room for you to do whatever you want. Let us pray. Dear Father God, take control. I think of being a manager and the headaches of being a manager, especially a middle manager. We got to listen to everybody on top telling you you're not cutting it, and all the people on below who say you're not supporting us enough, and how it would just be nice to not have to manage all of it. We don't need to manage anything. I remember what you told me a couple weeks ago when I said, you know, Lord, it's just too heavy. The weight's too heavy. And you said, well, then don't carry it. So, Lord, we ask right now that we give you all the weight, that we don't carry it. Especially all that weight of all the people who've done us wrong. Especially all that weight of any kind of malice or envy or slander. All that weight of things about me. And all that weight about trying to fix and help everybody else. Lord, we just hand you all that weight right now. And we feel light as a feather, knowing you have taken it. We thank you, dear Father God, for taking the weight. We thank you and we give you praise and glory through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. Go and try that 5-minute thing. That's our assignment this week. Try that 5-minute thing. And then come back and tell me what happened. And tell me if you're consistent. And we'll work it. We'll get it very consistent. Have an amazing week. God bless.